Kenny is back with us after a week's hiatus. Thanks, Kenny, for being here.
It's good to be back. It felt like, well, it kind of was more than a week when it all adds up.
I wasn't here either, so I feel like a lot has gone under the bridge, literally and figuratively, since we talked last. And
right.
We finally have temperatures below freezing again. We have a lovely white layer covering all the ice. And now we're just wondering if we're going to get sun, of course.
Yeah, we're kind of heading for a gloomy weekend. I mean,
oh, don't say that. But I guess that's what I kind of knew.
I mean, it's always different by the lake. But, you know, we didn't get that shot of really cold, crisp air behind yet another snowfall. So I guess I would say in a nutshell for really busy listeners, the gist of it is probably a gloomy weekend. I mean, there's always little variations, but it looks like most of Minnesota is just going to be cloudy all weekend. And some of that's because there's a lot of residual moisture in the air and there isn't really anything moving it out. And then there isn't really high pressure, which is, you know, high pressure is like downward pushing air that literally makes it impossible for clouds to form. And so with kind of neutral pressure in place and a lot of kind of low level moisture, those are good ingredients for fog and clouds and like, that kind of freezing fog, which isn't nearly as wonderful as it sounds. and that'll probably get most of us through the weekend. Now it's not going to be a terrible weekend. It's actually still pretty mild.
Yeah.
Temperatures are above normal over the entire state right now. January in your neck of the woods has been incredibly warm compared to what's average. International Falls is probably going to end up with one of the top two or three warmest Januaries on their record.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less in the Duluth Two Harbors area, but it's been warm. It's staying mild. When we look into next week, the weather's pretty uneventful, but as we get towards about this time next week, maybe past next weekend, we start to see signs of a change towards maybe more appropriately winter-like conditions. And what we don't know is this going to be what we've seen for many of the last Februaries, where it just gets cold, and that's kind of the character of the month. You have a cold, wintry February. Or is this really just a flash in the pan of a few days of, you know, really cold weather and then we come back out of it? Right now, it's too far away for us to know, you know, like how deep is this cold going to be and how long will it last? We see, if you look at some of the models that try and see out a couple weeks, there's some indication that, you know, maybe this has some legs. When we look at the models that actually can see up to a month, they seem to be indicating that we're going to flip back into warm conditions at some point, you know. But it does look like the end of January is going to be much colder than we've been for most of the month. And the beginning of February looks to start cold. We don't know
how
it'll go after that.
And so, is that going to also dry things up?
Well, I think it would tend to change the character of any snow that falls. So it would freeze whatever's on the ground. And then as you get weather systems, they would tend to come in from the northwest. They'd be those Alberta Clippers, right?
Yes.
The ones that come in from the prairies of Canada, and they bring, you know, typically they bring a few inches, sometimes negligible, but up to a few inches of kind of powdery snow, and then it gets windy and cold after they pass. And, you know, they're really hard to see those individual systems when they're many days away, because these are very subtle. They're little atmospheric subtleties compared to these big cyclones that come out of the southwestern United States. And so, you know, when the little atmospheric disturbance that causes them is when those are still over the Pacific Ocean, it's just really hard to know which of these is going to kind of get on the land and start bearing fruit in terms of producing snowfall and things like that.
Okay.
And so, you know, the general conceptual model is that when it gets colder, you tend to get lighter, fluffier, more powdery snow, which I think, you know, most Minnesotans would welcome after the absolute slush fest of, you know, the last 6 weeks or so.
Right. Now, I can't help but I mean, when we talked before, it seemed like you were saying there's just no sign of cold from, I mean, and we've had winds with N in them that have also not brought a lot of cold. And now suddenly, or not suddenly, but, you know, northerly winds are bringing more air from the Arctic. And I also noticed that when we were in our record warmth, Siberia was in a record cold, and I have a memory of that happening the other way before. Is that because of the polar vortex and the jet stream that either it slides off towards Russia or slides off toward North America, or is that looking way too deeply into it?
Oh, it's a really good observation. I mean, there is this tendency. There are these old forecasting adages that, you know, they sometimes work out pretty well, where you could say, you know, whatever's happening in Minnesota, you're going to see the opposite in Alaska.
Yeah.
And then wait a week or wait 2 weeks and it'll flip. That's basically because the most dramatic air masses are controlled by the jet stream. And, you know, the jet stream is that fairly continuous kind of river of air. It's wide, that runs through the northern hemisphere at the mid and high latitudes, and it undulates, right? And the more that it dips down and forms kind of a really steep U shape, the deeper the cold we get, or whoever's inside of that U, right? And then when you get the trough, or the kind of the upside down U,
right,
then you end up with really warm air. And those tend to be about the size, like each of those big deep waves, they're basically the size of a continent. And then they kind of, you know, they sort of, they move eastward even as the air kind of moves around the U, or the upside down U shapes along them, if that makes sense. So the whole pattern kind of moves eastward like a train.
Yeah.
Even though the cars on the train are actually, you know, tracking the contours of the troughs and the ridges, the U's and the upside down U's.
Yeah.
And because they're about continent size, it actually does make sense that, you know, sometimes we'll be in an air mass and you'll find the opposite in, you know, Siberia or in Alaska. Our relationship to Alaska is a little more straightforward because there's somewhat higher latitude, but they're just kind of one wave size to our west. The stuff with Siberia is weird. Every once in a while we get these, you know, we have to remember that the globe, the world is round, right? And so we often forget that. We look at, you know, TV weather maps and whatever we see on a computer screen or our phones, and, you know, we generally are shown rectangles. But we have to remember that sometimes these weather systems, they actually can cross the North Pole.
Right.
And so when we get a really strong, one of those U-shaped configurations is really strong, and we get cold air just pouring down, a lot of times it's actually originating in Siberia and crossing the North Pole to get to us, which is kind of wild. Like, it crosses the Arctic Ocean and then pours down through Canada, which it doesn't really follow that sort of typical west to east concept that I think a lot of us have when we think about moving weather systems. So yeah, I think your observation is really good. It's not unusual for us to have almost opposite type of weather from what's being experienced in Alaska or in Siberia. I mean, sometimes we're in phase with them and we're experiencing similar conditions, but it's pretty typical to see if it's warm here, it's going to be cold in those places.
Interesting. Well, that invites more questions than we have time for today. So thanks for that tantalizing tidbit, and hopefully we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, we'll talk next week, and we'll see where we are as that cold air mass is, you know, at least the alleged cold air mass is approaching.
That's right.
So thanks. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR.